Good afternoon, everyone. We're calling the April 13th City Commission meeting to order. Please silence your phones if you wouldn't mind, if you have them with you. We're going to start with an invocation from Reverend Sean Garvey from the First Congregational Church. So everybody please join us, and after the invocation, we'll all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance as well. Thank you.
Thank you. It's always a joy and an honor to be with you. Let's be together in the spirit of prayer. Eternal Spirit of wisdom and compassion, known by many names through many lenses of experience, as we gather here in this chamber, we ask that your Spirit guide and inform our questions, our decisions, and ultimately our actions, so that we can continue to move this community, this special and blessed community that is a gift to all of us for so many reasons, in a forward and hope-filled direction. We offer you all that we bring with us here today in your holy and loving name. Amen.
Folks, if you wouldn't mind also, and I apologize, I should have said it earlier, we lost a good member of our community this past week. Kevin Robillard, who was a true servant, he coached baseball at Little League, so he's a great family man. Just a moment of silence before we do the pledge, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you so much.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Commission, we have before us the agenda. Do we have any changes, Randy, or Commissioner?
Mr. Mayor, I've got one that I'd like to ask for. Under the Mayor's report, item F, the Visioning Committee, Steering Committee appointments.
Yes.
I'd like to move that back, if we could, to in conjunction with item 10C, where we actually talk about the consultant as well. I think there's, in my mind, there's a couple of bigger items I'd like to talk about as part of that, and maybe we can do that as well as part of the general discussion.
Mayor, I was actually going to request that also.
I don't have a problem. The commission, everybody else?
Fine.
Other than that, I would move for approval.
I'll second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Randy, would you just make that note? Thank you. Okay, that shortens my mayor's report. I'm going to head.
Or gives you more time to listen to the other items.
This is a great honor that we have annually to recognize the best in show from this latest art festival. So I'd like to call John King, president of the Winter Park Saddle Art Festival. John, come on up, please. As many of you know, we hosted hundreds of thousands of guests this year, as is tradition, at the Sidewalk Art Festival, and for the very first time, we had Sunrail bringing people in. Almost 26,000 patrons to Winter Park on Saturday and Sunday alone. Thank you to the funding partners. We had great funding partners who allowed for that to happen. The Winter Park Community Redevelopment Agency, our own CRA, the Florida Hospital, the Winter Park Chamber of Commerce, thank you, Patrick, as always, and the Sidewalk Art Festival Organization. John, would you like to say a few words, please?
Yes, I would, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure to see you, Commissioners. The Winter Park Sidewalk Art Festival's board of directors, 30 persons strong, wishes to present to the City of Winter Park, as it has for many, many years in the past, the Best of Show. The Best of Show is selected by three well-known national-level judges right here in Winter Park. We fly them in, and I must say that they've used their imagination this year. There have been lots of comments about the display. Let me hasten to say that the framework is really not part of the award, not part of the submission. Down further in the display are two photographs. The photographs are of cicadas, and the title is something that goes like the seven seventh year reunion of the Cicadas or something of that sort. You know artists. Well, this is a photograph, and it's whimsical, and it's kind of fun. And I'm not sure which among the city fathers want to have this hanging in their office, but, you know, since 1969, the Best of Show started at $750, mm-hmm. and in 1996, it was gradually increased to $10,000. I noticed when I was carrying it over here with the help of the park ranger that there is a for sale tag on it for $4,400. So I'm not sure if our judges were impressed with the art, or they certainly were not impressed with the price tag. And so I'm not sure really what the value the city will get from this, whether it be $4,400 or $10,000, but that's what we paid for it. That was the award. And turn it over to you, Mr. Mayor.
John, thank you. Thank you. This, as always, we have a collection. Randy, I'm not sure how we move this. I'm not touching it. But thank you, John. This is wonderful. Can we get a picture somehow? I'm not sure how we're going to schedule this. We normally do it holding
it. At my home,
maybe if we come down and we can get it in front of us. John, would you do us an honor? Stand with us, and possibly we can maybe just stand around it somehow. I'm not sure how best to do this. Thank you, John. Butch, would you join me, please, at the podium? Winter Park's own traffic manager to talk to us about Biking Week. Are you guys coming up to join us, too?
They'll be here in just one second.
Please, Butch.
All right, March was Florida's Bike Month, and a signature event that we had was Bike to Work, and there's two people that will tell you about that with a little presentation. That is David Earn, chairperson of the Bike and Pedestrian Board, and Jill Hamilton Buss, Healthy Central Florida director, and also a board member. David, Jill, David.
Thanks, Butch. Mayor, Commissioner, it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. As Butch said, my name is David Earn. I have the privilege to serve as the chair of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Board. I just have a few minutes of remarks, and we have a short 1 minute video to share. March was Bike Month in Florida. The Bike Ped Board, with significant support from Healthy Central Florida, organized Winter Park's first official Bike to Work Day on Thursday, March 12th. Our concept was simple. We planned a scenic, relaxed afternoon ride through our beautiful city. The meeting place was Central Park, followed by a post-ride meetup at a Park Avenue restaurant. This year's partner was Boca. Well over 100 folks pre-registered. And despite having to move the event back one day, it was originally going to be on Wednesday, there were thunderstorms forecasted, so we pushed it back, which ended up being the right move. We still had 70 folks participate, and for a first-year event, we're really pleased with the turnout and the great energy that everyone brought. So the question is, you know, why do you have Bike to Work Day? Let me give you a perfect example. I sent an email out to all of my colleagues at Bonnier advertising the event. And one of my coworkers, she signed up right away. She was the first one to reply, like, 2 minutes, I'm in. And she said to me that she had recently moved and that she was thinking about trying biking to work. The minute she got my email, she knew this was the opportunity to do it. I believe a lot of people are in that boat where they're thinking about trying something out, and it's these fun events that can be the catalyst to make that lifestyle change, to become more active, leave the car in the driveway, and hop on the bike. Bicycling is fun, everyone enjoys it, and when you make it part of your regular routine by commuting to work or just running routine errands, you want to do it more and more. I personally started commuting by bike 4 years ago for the health benefits. I have a young family, and my time at the gym was gone. So it was selfish, but it's just become a passion of mine now. 3 hours of biking is the health fact. Just 3 hours of biking per week can reduce your risk of heart disease by 50%. The average person loses 13 pounds in the first year of commuting by bike. We're still early in planning, but we see this event growing by leaps and bounds. Next year, we may include a competition among employers who can recruit the most participants. Everyone loves a healthy competition. Personally, I've set a goal at my employer. We had 6 people participate this year. I'm shooting for 20 next year. We have 50 doing the corporate 5K on Thursday, so I figured 20 should be a chip shot. So I think we're ready to roll the video. It's just a 1-minute video.
Official Bike to Work Day in Winter Park, and one of our objectives is to make bicycling as safe and accessible and inviting for as many types of cyclists as possible, not just road cyclists who are already comfortable, but for families with children, so that everybody has a place to ride and feels safe when they ride.
Our goal is to get people out here. You know, you try it once, and you find that you like it, and it's doable. This is a great networking opportunity as well. It's amazing to see who also loves bicycles, and it's cool to connect with them.
I just think if motorists see a bunch of bikes out and bike to work, and just the publicity that it's getting, I would hope that would make them more aware that, oh yeah, I should think more often about the fact that we need to share the road.
Thanks very much. A big thanks to the Winter Park Police Department, Officer Bruce Robinson, who is at every one of our meetings. He and his team did an outstanding job helping with our route. And, of course, to my colleague, Jill Hamilton Buss, who really led this entire project. So, oh, yes, in the fire department. As you saw, their awesome truck. Absolutely. So.
That's a medium.
So well.
Michelle DeValle-Nooney. It's gonna take a little while for me to get the last name straight. Yeah. Hopefully you'll get it quicker than I will. We have a proclamation to read here for Arbor Day. As many of you know, this Sunday from 11 to 4 in Central Park, we're hosting Earth Day in the park. The city has this amazing event planned for the community, and would love for you all to join us in Central Park. We'll also be highlighting the city's urban forestry management plan and the goals associated with this plan to preserve and protect our canopy for generations. Also, in celebration of Arbor Day, it's also a distinct pleasure to memorialize Kenneth Murrah. The Urban Forestry Division will host a live oak tree planting at 1 o'clock near the Rose Garden in Ken's name. The Urban Forestry will also be giving away 1 gallon containerized trees to city residents to plant at their home, and they work. I have a beautiful Japanese maple in my front yard that my daughter and I planted about 5 years ago, and it's 10 feet tall, and it looks gorgeous. So I am the recipient of one of those. In celebration of Arbor Day, I have a proclamation I'd like to share today. Michelle, do you want to say a few words before or after? After. Okay. Proclamation for Arbor Day, April 24, 2015. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than 1 million trees in Nebraska and is now observed throughout the nation as well as the world. And whereas trees can reduce the erosion by wind and water of our precious topsoil, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a great source of joy and spiritual renewal. And whereas Winter Park has been recognized as a Tree City USA by the National Arbor Day Foundation and desires to continue its tree planting ways. Now, therefore, I, Steve Leary, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Winter Park in the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim Friday, April 24th, 2015, as Arbor Day in the city of Winter Park, Florida, and urge all citizens to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands, as well as our city's urban forestry management plan. Michelle.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for recognizing Arbor Day, and I'm accepting on behalf of Drew Dennison today, our urban forestry manager. She couldn't be with us. And we're not just celebrating on April 19th, but we're celebrating several more times during the month, so to encourage you to participate when you can. Friday, April 24th, we have an Arbor Day planting with the third grade at Lakemont Elementary. Saturday, April 25th, we have Run for the Trees, and Tuesday, April 28th, we have Trees for Peace at Martin Luther King Park. So we'll be out planting all month long and hope that many of our community will participate. Thank you.
Great. Here you are. It's a proclamation. Do we need a picture? Let's get one. You want to have one. I have another proclamation here today. This is Winter Park. It's National Library Week. Sean, there you are. You're two steps ahead.
I'm not.
Take it back with you.
I just walk out.
I don't think that's going to work out.
I might need a bigger building.
And so it starts.
Shameless.
Oh.
Well, in honor of National Library Week, we do have a special proclamation for Sean and the library, the Winter Park Library. Whereas the Winter Park Public Library creates potential and possibilities within the Winter Park community, and whereas libraries level the playing field for all who seek information and access to technologies, and whereas libraries continuously grow and evolve in how they provide for the needs of every member of our community, and whereas libraries are educational partners in communities by fostering a lifelong love of reading, teaching early literacy skills, and developing age-appropriate programs for children that fuel curiosity and creativity. And whereas libraries and librarians open up a world of possibilities through innovative programming, makerspaces, job-seeking resources, and the power of reading. And whereas librarians are trained, tech-savvy professionals providing technology training and access to downloadable content like e-books. And whereas librarians, libraries, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week. Therefore, I, Steve Leary, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of our city of Winter Park in the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim Sunday, April 12th through Saturday, April 18th, 2015, as National Library Week in the city of Winter Park, Florida. I get choked up when I talk about libraries. Sean, would you like to say a few words?
Sure.
Please.
It is, as you already know, an exciting time to be in the library here at Winter Park. In addition to other things you may have heard we're doing, I won't mention it. We just opened our new tween department. It's kind of that little age between you're not a little kid and you're not a teenager anymore. And we believe we're probably one of a handful of people across the country to actually devote a full-time librarian and a section just for tween material. So we're excited about that. We just got back our makerspace surveys. And what almost 400 people said they wanted was a 3D printer, which we already have, they were interested in music videos, music editing, creating audio and video in a studio environment. And the last thing that was very popular was crafting. So makerspaces, it's a good example of how makerspaces kind of run the gamut from knitting and crocheting and crafting up to video production and 3D printers. So now that we know what people want, we'll be doing that and hopefully opening that in June. So it's an exciting time, and we very much appreciate the city's support. And thank you.
Thank you. Let's get a quick picture.
In front of the picture. It won't be in my office, I guarantee. Thank you.
Brandy, would you like to switch places with me?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I'm pleased to be in front of you again to put forth before you this quarter's slate of employees who have exemplified one of our eight core values during the last quarter. You'll see on the screen here we do have eight core values that we try to instill in all of our employees as they go forth each day to make every day exceptional in Winter Park. Before I call out the names of this quarter's winners, I'd like to highlight a couple of stories for you this month. And the first, we have a voicemail I'd like to play. Hopefully Josh has that queued up and ready to go.
Hi, Mr. Knight. My name is Dawn Ruoff, D-A-W-N-R-U-O-F-F. I'm not a resident of the city of Winter Park, although my mother is. I just wanted to tell you about a nice person that you have working for the city of Winter Park. Her name is Juanita Brandt, and her title is Executive Assistant. And Mrs. Brandt really helped me out with something that was a little complicated this week. And I was just so taken by how warm and hospitable and professional she was. And I wanted to call you and tell you how very impressed I am with Mrs. Brandt and the work that she's doing there. She seems like, at the time she's helping me, she acted like it was the most important thing that she had to do that whole day, and that was very sweet. If you need to call me back for any reason, and you don't need to unless you want to, my name once again is Dawn Ruoff, and I'm in.
All right. And she left her phone number for me to call her back. Juanita, please stand. Of course, Commissioners, I don't have to tell you, but we could put Juanita's face on the customer service coin as she, every day, there's stories like this about the people she helps up there at the front counter, and that's right, including you. Second story I'd like to highlight is we've got the coin of professionalism. There's probably a couple of different coins we could have given for these two gentlemen, but for 9 years, Eric Sorg and Paul Denault have shared the same truck and ride together with their various jobs throughout the city. Eric is a trade specialist for the city, and Paul is a city carpenter. And they go from all around the city fixing everything from railings to roofing to playgrounds. They weld. They do all kind of things for the city. They're kind of a jack of all trades. And as they were on January 14th, they were coming back from powder coating a facility on Railroad Avenue, and Eric was driving. Paul was in the passenger seat, and as they turned left on Webster, Paul asked Eric to go back around the block because he thought he saw something. He thought he saw somebody, you know, laying out halfway out their door. And he wasn't quite sure he saw what he thought he saw, but so they did. They went around the block, and sure enough, there was a gentleman that was laying face down halfway out into his carport out of the house. And so they approached the man. Eric talked to him. He was coherent, but he recognized he needed an ambulance. Paul called 911. Eric sat with the man, holding his hand and doing what he could to comfort him. He was very distraught, upset, crying, worried about his animals that were in the house. And within a few minutes, paramedics came in. They took over the medical procedures. And they're And Eric's 27 years with the city and Paul's 9 years with the city. They've oftentimes, we hear stories of them stopping and helping somebody with a flat tire, doing that type of thing. They're just great ambassadors for this city. But this is the first time they've had something of this type of an emergency. They had recent CPR classes that they had taken, and they put that to use. And for that, Eric and Paul were given professionalism coins, and I'd like Paul and Eric to stand up and be recognized. And there's stories behind each of these. Obviously, when we give a coin, it's for doing more than just your ordinary everyday job. So and as I call your name, please stand to be recognized. Those receiving the customer service coin this quarter: Barry Carson, Juanita Grant, Steve Mathis, Craig O'Neill, Janet Paul, Marvin Walton, and Bob Wyrick. Thank you very much. The innovation coin went to Jim Walsh this quarter. I don't have it. Oh, there's Jim in the back. The professionalism coin, Leif Bouffard, Paul Denault, Deborah Morgan Clyatt, and Eric Sword. The teamwork coin, Frank Coward, Murray Daniel, Brenda Moody, Tim Volkerson. So congratulations to all of these employees and those that couldn't be here for, one, for making me look good, but also for just making every day more exceptional for the citizens of Winter Park. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. Randy, I assume you're just going to continue the manager's report up here?
Yes, sir.
Great.
We're going to the city manager's report now. I wanted to update the commission on a couple of items. The first is... The first, is this on?
Can you hear me? Can you give it a minute? Let's let them clear out. Hey, Jim, would you just close those doors behind you? Thank you.
I wanted to let the commission know that we have scheduled and will be holding a celebration for the 10-year anniversary of the electric utility on June 1st. And as a reminder, you know, the city commission asked us a while back to look at options for a board recognition. One option would be to do it in connection with this 10-year anniversary and highlight utility advisory board at that meeting. We're talking about basically just hors d'oeuvres and some drinks, do a little hour and a half to 2 hour ceremony on that day. Or we could break it apart and do the 10-year anniversary one day and do the board appreciation another day. So I wanted to see what the commission thought on those two options.
Any thoughts, commissioners?
I often hear from residents that we do things in the summer.
This is working.
I don't know. Yeah, that we do things in the summer when they're gone. I don't know how much truth that is, but if indeed we feel like a lot of families go on vacation in June with young children because they're out of school, or older folks are off to North Carolina to sit in the cool, we might want to think about maybe October to do our board appreciation. Just a thought. I don't know how anybody feels about that.
I'm fine either way. Whatever works for staff. And
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm always here.
I'm just not here on June 1st. So I think whenever we can do it.
Yeah, either one.
So direction is, are we okay with June 1st or not? Let's make sure
Randy's
clear.
I won't be here either. Sarah's not here. I'm not here.
But are you okay if we proceed
yes,
without you?
Yes, I'm okay with it. I would just like to do a survey maybe of the boards to see how many of them aren't going to be here in June.
So I'll just tell you that my life revolves around these meetings, and I plan every time I'm going to be somewhere else to work around these meetings. So for me, it's always preferable to plan things on the days these meetings are set, because if I have an off time, just because I'm working,
sure.
And so it's hard for me to work. I'm sure everybody else is in the same boat, but no, proceed without me, that's fine.
Okay. I'm happy to do it either way, Commissioner.
Thank you.
I'd rather, because I was one that brought it up.
I know.
I really was, and I would really like to be a part of the board recognition.
So maybe we could survey the boards.
All right.
Membership.
Thank you.
It's okay with that.
It's fine.
The second item is I wanted to give the commission an update on the historic preservation ordinance process and where that is. At the commission's direction, the Historic Preservation Board has been reviewing the ordinance, working with both a consultant and a volunteer citizens group that kind of self-formulated to work on a draft ordinance. And that ordinance includes a few items. It has a restatement of the intent and purpose of the Historic Preservation Ordinance. Has a proposed amendment to the board membership to meet the certified local government status, which will help us in applying for grants and that type of thing. It amends the historic district procedure, including notice, outreach, voting process, and that type of thing, a waiting period, that type of thing. It clarifies the design review process, clarifies the variance request process, makes additional recommendations for ancillary dwelling units, and adds additional incentives to encourage historic preservation designation. They've scheduled a public outreach meeting on Thursday, May 7th at the Winter Park Community Center. There's going to be two sessions that day, one at 9 a.m. and the second at 7 p.m. And so once they get that input, they plan on going back to their board meetings and seeing if any tweaks need to be made as a result of that input, and then be coming back to the City Commission sometime probably in July. So that just gives you kind of an update of where they are. And with that concludes my report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Great, Randy, thank you. Any questions for Randy?
There. Just a quick one, Randy. Are they going to talk to the situation we had on Interlochen? Are we going to talk to whether we're going to entertain removing things from the designation, and if so, how and what that criteria is?
Well, I mean, they've already talked about a lot of things. Whether that's one of them, I don't know. But
and I don't know the answer about that. Yeah. Sometimes silence is the best way to treat something like that. I'm just curious. I'd like at least to know their thoughts on that.
We can sure make sure.
They may have already. And I'd rather things not be quite so messy. I'd rather the process to be discussed.
Anyone else?
No, sir.
No? Great. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Larry, anything under the attorney's report?
Yes. I previously mentioned that the city was named in a federal lawsuit in Miami, Southern District of Florida Federal Court, in the Parker case, along with about 55 other cities, and it has to do with the post-Mark Wandahl implementation of the red light camera programs. Today, the risk manager, Kerry Martin, contacted us and authorized us through the insurance carrier to file a defense. And so you may see me typing a little bit because I've got folks at my office that are working on a motion to quash the case. We're going to file a special motion to state that the court doesn't have jurisdiction over us. And the reason why is the plaintiffs admit that they don't have a named class representative who was cited in Winter Park. So I think for that reason we have a decent argument that they don't have jurisdiction because they don't have a Winter Park case.
Larry, what were we looking for? You and
that's due tonight by midnight, so we'll be
okay.
We'll be
good.
Multitasking.
Yeah. So I'm not being rude if you see me on the iPad. I'm just responding to an associate with her draft motion.
Well, I thought we had it. Wasn't there another defense of that as well?
We have many other defenses. We have a lot of defenses, but when you challenge the lack of personal jurisdiction, you make a limited special appearance so that you don't waive that argument.
Okay.
You specially file a motion to quash for that one ground, on that one basis, that the court doesn't have personal jurisdiction over the defendant. So
are we part of a defense team on the other areas that you would?
Well, that's to be determined. I think that's what Ms. Martin and I'll work through.
And we're not sacrificing the opportunity then.
Oh, no. We have many, many other defenses. I did a memo to Randy, which is not a public record, but and to Ms. Martin, I outlined some of our defense theories.
Can I speak for the commission and say start typing?
Yes.
I'm going to check.
And keep typing.
Yeah. Anything else for city attorney?
No, sir.
Great. Wes. Let's do the February 2015 financial report.
Mayor and Commission, we have the financial report for the 5 months ended February 28. Our on our, starting with our general fund, some of the highlights are communication services tax is not, has been a continuing to decline revenue source. We budgeted that at a much lower amount than we received budgeted the year before. We were even budgeted less than the state had recommended, or not recommended, but they had projected. And it still looks like we're going to be below that as well, even in our, let's see, other noteworthy items. Permit revenues are not quite as strong as they were last year, but they're not too far off our forecast. Speaking of the red light camera, traffic revenues are not as, are below our expectations as well. Investment earnings are doing better than expected. Overall, we're not too far off, and our expenses appear to be in line with our budget at this point. Moving on to the CRA, there's not too much noteworthy there. They've already got their tax increment revenue has been credited to CRA. That happens in December each year. Moving on to Water and Sewer Fund. We've got a strong bottom line there, $673,000, and we project our debt service coverage to be right at 2x the requirements. That's very good. Our electric fund, our sales are kilowatt hours are a little bit behind our forecast, about 4%. We have a our fuel cost stabilization fund is right on target with the midpoint of our targeted range. We've got a 5 months ended. We have a positive $166,000, and we project our debt service for coverage for the year to be 2.84, which is very good. And we are spending our capital money on undergrounding, et cetera, as anticipated in the budget. Those are the highlights.
Any questions for Wes or Randy? Wes, a question for you. The building permit fees. Do we see a difference between the commercial versus residential on that?
I'm not sure.
It's not broken out in the revenue line item. What Chris Stinger was telling me the other day is that what we're seeing a decline primarily in is the residential. We were getting quite a few per month, and it slowed. That's what started to slow down.
Question.
The multifamily residential, is that counted as commercial?
Yes.
It is,
yes.
Isn't it? Okay.
Yes.
So when you give us those numbers, would you break that out so that we really understand what we're talking about? Because commercial versus multifamily residential, I know we put it in there, but I'd like to understand how that's parsed out.
I have to look. I'm not sure I can easily accomplish that.
And I really didn't mean in your report.
Because
in our discussions, when we asked you questions and we say, is it commercial or residential?
Right.
I think from a qualitative standpoint, you probably could just, you know, I think we're just looking for just an overall thought.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to see the detail.
Or
do you just see
exactly.
It?
Exactly. I just like to
it?
Understand what portion of it's multifamily versus real commercial.
Well, now you're asking for a sub-breakdown of commercial.
Yeah.
That's going to be that's bigger. That's a much more difficult challenge.
We've seen it in the past. It's.
I'm not sure how doable it is, but we'll investigate that and break
take
out
a peek
if we
and
can.
I think you're going to have trouble between the multifamily and like pulling that out of commercial. It's a little
I'm just wondering how many multifamily permits do we pull? There can't be that
just,
many.
Yeah, think about it. Randy, just take a peek out, see if
I think our last performance report from the last quarter gave us some pretty good information about that. And that's probably where that information belongs as opposed to it is. I get that.
Is there anything else from Wes? No? Motion to approve this?
So moved.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. We have citizen comments planned. Thank you, Wes. We have some time on there. Let's move on to the consent agenda. We will take citizen comments close to the 5 o'clock hour. Folks, anything on the consent agenda?
I'm going to move for approval.
Oh, I'd like to pull 9A.
9A?
My second approval of the remaining.
Okay. I would like to pull B1.
I'm in my second to include that.
Okay.
And Mayor. Yes. Other than the minutes, approval of the minutes, the public will have a right to make any comments prior to the vote on the consent agenda.
Right. So I'm going to. Are there any other questions?
So what we pulled? B1.
We've pulled 9A and 9B1.
When
okay.
we.
So I'm moving. Commissioner, if it's okay, we're going to move 9B2 through 6.
Absolutely.
That's fine. I'm just. A point of clarification in the future, since that is the case, should we separate out the minutes from the rest of the consent agenda so we could act on the minutes and then everything else as opposed to, I don't know.
Larry, why is that separate?
Because ministerial votes, matters of internal business, are accepted from the statute that allows for public participation. Mm-hmm. So things that are purely procedural and internal are just for you, and you could allow the public to speak about it.
It's just not required that you provide public input. You can allow it on anything.
Right, that's right.
I think it's a good idea because it may be something that we have quoted a resident as saying that needs to be looked at. So I don't mind leaving it there.
I don't mind either way. I'm just, if it makes it cleaner to do it one way or the other, is all I see.
Don't trip me up on my second.
Don't change everything on him. Come on.
We're going to already move one thing from the beginning. Let's keep it in there for now. We can certainly revisit it.
That's a good thing. I like it.
Great. We have a motion and a second for consent agenda items 9B2 through 6. I'll open the floor to public if anybody has any comments on that. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Can we just move this by?
Yes.
Yes. So we'll call a vote on 9. What are we doing? B2 through 6. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? All opposed? None. Great. Commissioner Cooper. You pulled 9A.
Yes, I wanted to pull the minutes. On page 2 of 8 of the minutes, which looks like it might be page 13 of our agenda packet, the very first sentence says, Commissioner Seidel to appoint 2 members. We're talking about the visioning committee here. And for staff to appoint the remaining 8 members. And I went back to make sure I had not misunderstood that. Staff is to recommend.
Right. That's correct.
So I wanted to change the word appoint to recommend.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that change.
Yeah, that's what I would
I agree.
Call it, so yes.
Okay, Commissioner, are you okay with that change to
yes.
move?
Yes.
Great. Then we'll also call to see if there is any public comment on that change before we take a vote. Now, seeing none, we will then call for a vote on that amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. I pulled 9B1. Randy, do we have an estimate on what that expense is? I didn't see that noted.
Here comes Chief Ray Leo.
I'm sorry, Mayor. For some reason, that did not get attached with your packet. The estimate is $248,497.34. Currently in our forfeiture account, that would leave about $500,000 after that expenditure.
It's a big renovation. I'm okay with that, Chief. What does that entail? What else? What is in that? What's the renovation include?
Replacing the backstop completely, replacing the berm and the material that absorbs the rounds as they go forward. Right now, the problem that we're having is the backstop is 20 years old, and it's separating at the seams,
okay.
allowing rounds to go through the backstop and into the brick wall behind, and creating ricochet problems. We've shut the range down completely several months ago, and ricochet can be very deadly, as we're
sure.
seeing today.
I'm fine with that. I will move that amendment. Do I have a second?
Second.
Great. We'll open the floor to the public if they have any questions on that. Seeing none, let's call this to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you. The appointment of the vice mayor, item 10A. I would like to move Sarah Sprinkle as the vice mayor. Do I have a second?
I'm happy to second that, Steve. And my investigation on the vice mayor was that historically it's something that was transferred around, but also the actual role of the vice mayor. Randy kind of speak this a little better than I could, but the, you know, the role being more just if you're not here, they're doing things.
The vice mayor steps in when the mayor cannot. Yes.
Yeah, and then but and then also my point historically that was something that we rotated. I'm happy to second Sarah, and I don't know if in the future if we can get back to the rotation of vice mayor if that's something, you know, is it really that critical of a post? I guess that's what I was asking Randy about is, you know, the mayor post I see is extremely critical. The vice mayor post is valuable, without a doubt. I'm not trying to lessen the value of it. but I think it's something to consider, and I'm happy to second Sarah.
Thank you. I could speak to that. I think that it depends really on what's needed at the time. I think right now, from my perspective, I was this weekend on the phone with Tallahassee trying to take care of an issue. And in my absence, I think the best person to have conversations at that level and then with those people to try to is Sarah, is Commissioner Sprinkle. So at this time, it seems to work. It works for me. I think there's four people who are certainly capable of doing it up here, but at this stage, that's kind of what I need. So that's why I went with Commissioner Sprinkle. But I'm happy to reinvestigate everything every year. Sure, depending upon what the needs of the community are, I think. Any other questions or comments?
No, sir.
No. Call for a. Are there any public comments on the appointment of Sarah Sprinkle as the vice mayor? No. Seeing none, I'll close the floor. Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
Great. Cindy?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yay.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. We have the proposed naming of the Shady Park Pavilion in honor of Reverend Dawkins. Who's speaking out, John?
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners.
Good afternoon. Again,
I'm here with an exciting issue that we're bringing forward to the board. Back on February 23rd, the commission requested that we take to the Parks Board some proposals to name some parks and pavilions after some prominent people in our city. And in doing so, the Parks and Recreation Commission considered the request of naming the pavilion in Shady Park, the new pavilion which we built after Reverend Dawkins. And the issue was brought before and the board and a lot of support was brought forward during the meeting. So we are bringing that forward to this board for your consideration. The one issue that the Parks Board has requested is that you waive the residency requirement of our naming policy and make a motion toward naming the pavilion after the Reverend Dawkins.
Any comments from the commission?
John, that waiver would be specific for this action.
You can make it very specific.
And I guess as I'm prepared to make a motion to accept this, but I would like to have that waiver specific to...
Singular to this.
Yes, to this, and not as a general policy for the city. But I'm prepared. I would like to move the this as presented with that clarification.
Second.
Let the record show. Thank you. Commissioner Cooper.
I'd also like to speak to Reverend Dawkins' contribution to the community. I think most of us know for over 20 years he was the police department chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
He went through a lot with the community. He was also chairman of our community redevelopment agency advisory board for quite a while. And we've had two proclamations in the city for Reverend Dawkins, and he certainly has served as the president of the Ministerial Alliance at a time when the city was going through a lot of growing pains. So I have the utmost respect for him, and I'm just delighted to hear that you had a unanimous board recommendation, and I will certainly be supporting it. Thank you.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
And I also support this, but I have a question about process, okay? When I look at this and I see that a board has brought us a recommendation, do we, in fact, have to go back and speak to at all what our policy under Title Sheet says, or do we just accept it as it is? Because to me, they're two different things. And so I'm trying to figure out, as I look at this, where we have those requirements in there, I mean, do we actually have to speak to that, or can we just accept what the board brought us? And then maybe look at a future date and time at what those requirements were, because Randy and I have had conversations about this, having served on the MLK task force. This was a big issue for us. So I'm just trying to get it clear, because there were a lot of other names that came up that didn't come back.
Right.
So we're going to be dealing with this in some form or fashion.
Right. What the board is asking you to do, or recommending that you do, is approve this request with the waiver of the policy requirement that he be a resident. So you'd be doing both in this specific case, okay, accepting their complete recommendation. The rest of what y'all asking to look at, of course, were the some former mayors and possibly naming something, and the board voted against recommending naming a park after those former mayors. So.
We also all received some input from another resident this week that would like to name something for people over 100.
Yes.
I don't know how we deal with that.
That's why I'm bringing us to this point,
is because
is an issue for lots of people to understand. How do you go about naming something after somebody? We all want this one, and maybe we should just do this and
as
go.
An exception.
And then look at this in the future for how that happens.
Yeah, if you want to look at the overall policy, I do think the policy's a little bit skewed towards buildings more than it is for parks and streets and other okay, city things that the city would control naming of. I know there's been things named out at Mead Garden, for example, that was just done by the Friends of Mead, or the
right,
Mead Botanical Inc., or whatever they're called. So it may be a time to look at the overall policy and see if we can include some of those other things like streets and
trees.
Commissioner Sandel, did you have a question?
Randy, how often do we consider naming things? Is this just done randomly, or is it once a year?
It's very random. We've gone years without a request, and then all of a sudden you get two or three at one time. So it's it's just very haphazard, I would say.
Randy, I echo kind of what we're hearing up here. It's very difficult. It puts us in a very difficult spot. We either follow policy or we don't, and I think we need a tighter policy. But there is nobody on that list that I would say we shouldn't name something after. I mean, gentlemen that have served this community well. I see Mayor Terranova. I saw Mayor Trevelyan here earlier. And they've served this community. And then perhaps there's an opportunity to bunch it and do a mayor's park or a mayor's pavilion or something in honor mm-hmm. of the folks that have stepped forward over the history of the city. So I have an issue with that. I have an issue also in the description. It says there was also a commission request to consider naming the new Shady Park Pavilion after Reverend Mitchell Dawkins. And I don't remember that request. I didn't see it in the minutes. I don't recall.
There was a request that they... Yes, in that meeting.
Of this commission?
Yes.
I
remember you asked, but I don't remember that
it was
pavilion
part of
specific.
It was part
pavilion
of the motion,
specifically?
Yes. Not I don't remember the pavilion, but it was
okay,
to
but
name,
that's
it was
my
to
point.
Name, no, it was to name something after.
I remember that, but this says in the right here in the description to request the request was for the new pavilion, which I don't think is correct.
And I'm ashamed to tell you I cannot remember. I'd have to go look at the minutes.
I was supportive of what you said.
Yeah,
I think it was a park as well. That's what I just think this is incorrectly.
Sure.
So this kind of
right.
I think perhaps Parks and Rec narrowed it down to that. I'm going to support this. I just think we need to get a little bit
yes.
tighter on what we are. Again, it puts
discipline.
This commission in a very difficult position to not approve that for others. Commissioner McMackin, I'm supportive
no.
of the way you brought it forward. Any other questions from the commissioner or comments? No, great. Any public comment? Please step forward if you'd like to comment on it. Fill out a yellow card if you wouldn't mind. Thank you, Melanie.
My name is Melanie Dawkins, and I'm Reverend Dawkins' widow. And I just stand to say thank you for doing such an honor for us. My family is here. My church family is here. And this has been a very difficult year for me. So this is just making it that much better for me. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? No. Great. Are you all ready to vote? Any
yes.
Commission,
yes,
any
sir.
Comments from the commission? Cindy, would you please take the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. We also have, we are going to take up two items on this at once. We are bringing forth, I believe, Commissioner McMackin, it was item 4F as well,
yes,
as, and we will join it with item 10C.
And Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd,
certainly.
I'd like to start this out with a somewhat of what I want to call a general conversation. Perhaps it's even a come to Jesus kind of conversation.
Okay.
Before we go any further with this visioning process, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that the five of us are on the same page, because I think that's critical.
Sure.
And because I think the community looks to us, even though we're not going to be specifically directing this, I think they still look to all of us to answer to it. And the last week has been a little tough for me. I've had lots of questions that I've had to answer. And guys, I want to take this in the spirit, please, that it's intended. So
sure.
I'm not. This is, as the Godfather would say, this is business and not personal.
And then he shoots somebody.
And then he shoots somebody. So
I take it in that vein.
I've got my gun here and I'm ready to go. I've got two items that have come across my desk that I'm concerned that give the impression of diminishing the integrity of the visioning process before we even started. And the two things are, and I'm sure Steve, you're familiar with this one.
I think you've seen that.
And this was a citizen survey that some residents received and others did not. Steve, well, I'm at odds with you on this one. I don't want to address that this evening. I think my concern is that on the timing of this, I've had to answer to many residents that no, this wasn't part of the visioning process, and no, you were not left out, and there is another one coming and whatnot. And so this was, the timing, in my opinion, was a little off on this one. And that's all I care to say about that one, because it's, there's other issues, but that's not, the visioning to me is what's the most important thing.
Okay.
The other one was an email, and Commissioner Cooper, I'm going to pull my gun on you as well. was an email to a member of the steering committee addressing your, I'll call it your vision for the visioning. And when we talk about transparency, that one to me struck me as a wrong chord. And I think we either have to decide as a group, we're either hands off on this process or we're hands in on this process. And I think for the consultants, I think for the staff that's going to be working on this, and especially for the steering committee, they need to know we're either letting them be the responsible individuals that they are, or we're going to be on top of them all the time. And I just, whether it's a nod or throw rocks at me or whatever it is, but I just think that, to me, this is important enough that it has to get off to a good start. And I just... There's a lot of chatter out there.
Has there been discussion with the consultants of what their recommendation is regarding?
No, because we haven't appointed a consultant yet.
We haven't even selected
the item that's coming forward. Is we have a ranking of the consultants based on the group that interviewed them, and there's a recommendation for the number one, but we as a commission have not selected them yet. And I just want to get the five of us to let them know there's a clear direction one way or the other. And I think that's important.
I'd be happy to address my part of that.
Commissioner Cooper.
Because quite frankly, Tom, immediately after I sent that email out, it became very obvious to me that I did not put it on my standard format that said, oh, by the way, this is my personal opinion, not your commissioner. And I immediately corrected that. The email went to 10 people, and I responded to those 10 people and corrected that. And you know, in my self-defense, I wasn't attempting to give direction. I was attempting to say, you've got this period of time. We've been working on this 15 months. I'd like you to know some things that I think would inform your process. And that was, I think I sent them, I have it here because I thought you might mention it, but I think I sent them the economic development plan, and I sent them the WRT report, and I sent them the citizen surveys. And additional to that, the things that you might have perceived as being inappropriate was I said, I would like this to represent the majority of Winter Park taxpayers. I would like to make sure that our older and less tech-savvy residents are included, and I would like to make sure we end up with a consensus on growth. And those are the things I said, and you're absolutely right. It should not have been under the cognizance of anyone assuming it came as a commissioner. So I agree with you, and I agree about the survey, and I agree about appointing members to the steering committee. I think we need to back out of all three of those things. So I'll take my bad, and I accept that. I absolutely agree with you.
Well,
and corrected it immediately, by the way.
And Commissioner, I will follow up on Commissioner Cooper's point. I sent out an email following Commissioner Cooper's to let the steering committee know that this was indeed
and
a position.
I was not party to either of those emails, right, so I apologize.
Right.
That's okay.
And
done
ahead
of time.
I'm sorry. And what I did was I just let them know that staff would be briefing them and would have the would really they need to count on staff for that direction. So okay. I think there was some miscommunication. As for the survey that I sent out, for my campaign sent out, that was a thank you note primarily, and it was here's pretty much some things we heard. I apologize the timing. Now that you mentioned, I literally did not consider it as part of the visioning. I thought it was pretty clear that it was coming from my campaign, and it was a thank you, and here are some items we heard. Do you have any deeper thoughts on it? That was really it. But I take your point, thank you for bringing it up to have this conversation.
I just want, again, my whole point is letting not only the steering committee, the
That's
consultant,
fine.
And also the citizens know that, yes, we are entrusting this to a steering committee, and they need to know that they have the, shall we say, freedom of action to do what is necessary
to
make this a success.
We are first entrusting staff to brief the steering committee, to give them their kind of
Correct.
Marching orders to kind of construct this whole thing. And I think we all need to come to grips with that, and I think we are. So
okay.
I think there were maybe some hiccups in the last couple of weeks. I apologize if I had
no,
if I created that stress.
Just a clarification point, and I think they just needed to hear it.
Great.
They needed to hear it from Mom and Dad that, yes, you're good to go kind of thing.
You know what's refreshing is that we did not know about each other's communication. And what I want you to know is that says a lot about the transparency on your city commission. We do our communications with each other sitting right here, and I think that's real important.
Okay.
Thank you for
Commissioner Sprinkle
humoring me on this one.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
I just didn't want to get shot.
Nope. I...
And the only thing that surprised me, because I think, first of all, Tom, I was very delighted when you were willing and able to step up and be our representative on the RFP process.
I trust you
to do that and do it well, because that's your business. And all along in this process, I'm looking to you for that. I can very much read and make up my own mind, but I know that you understand that process, so I've trusted you to give us, bring back to that committee, and whatever they bring to me, I know you've had a part of. So I was surprised when we even got an invitation from staff that said we're going to have a kickoff, and I thought, okay, what's our role as commissioners in that? Because I know I put it on my calendar, and I wondered, do we really belong there? So I understand that we need to step out of this, and so if anything, we probably need to kind of clarify that as we get ready to move forward. So
I fully intend to participate as a citizen. When the meetings occur that I'm able to attend, I want to be there to listen. But I share the fact that, yes, I'm there if I am as a citizen and not as a commissioner.
Commissioner Seidel, any comments?
Well, my biggest comment on the visioning committee is that, you know, I was on the utility advisory board, and we have extremely intelligent, smart people on the utility advisory board, and they spend a lot of more time discussing the issues than we do. And just Parks and Recreation came up tonight with the recommendation for naming something. There's good people on that board that put these names together and made the decision. And that's how I view this visioning and the steering committee, is that you look at the names and there's some very intelligent people on both sides of the issues on there. And, you know, everyone knows this isn't my full-time job. So, you know, I'm happy to delegate and happy to let those smart people figure out the best way to do it.
Yes.
And that's why I appointed my two, because I know they can figure out the best way to do it.
Speaking of that, do you mind if we move forward?
No, not at all. You have more than been accommodating for my concerns. So
yes, sir.
I will just say that I think it's terrific that so many people want to serve. So I think it's fabulous that there's a lot of people that want to serve on task forces and don't want to be left out. So we are doing something very, very right to give this to a group and say, go involve everybody you possibly can.
What I'd like to do is, first, if you all don't mind, is to ask Commissioner Seidel, you were to bring your two appointees to the commission this time around, correct?
Yes, I did forward those on to Dory.
Great. And, Dory, are you?
Why,
you're throwing me off.
Yeah, certainly.
You're usually over there. What are you doing?
No. She's moving closer to the artwork, I think.
Yeah, they're Bill Sullivan, who's one of the neighbors on my street, and Marquita Hollingsworth, who I met through Mary Daniels.
Okay, I don't know Marquita, but I'm happy with those appointments. Do we have any?
I am. Thank you for Marquita. She was the third person that I was considering on my group. So I am very
and
pleased.
And if you follow me, they're very balanced picks. If you know,
they are very balanced picks. Thank you.
Great.
Yes.
Do we have consensus approval?
Yes, you do.
Yes, I think we.
Aye.
Yes.
Great. So we have our 12 commission appointees. Dory, Anna. Are you taking this on, or Randy, are you taking this on?
In your packet, you have some suggested names from staff. After the packet went out, Peter Schreier with Crialde agreed to serve as one of the members from the art and culture community. We have not gotten a second person out of the arts and culture as of this date, so...
We'll continue to look,
but we put forth names of the various categories that were suggested as categories that we thought would be important to add to the steering committee.
And these people have come to me from some of your recommendations. They've come to me from other people outside of the public, or they've asked me. So it was I'll be honest, it was not easy to beat the bushes and follow this criteria. People are very busy. There was an education process of where we're going with visioning, but the folks that you have in front of you have agreed to serve and put their time in. Some of them are maybe familiar names. Some of them are not so familiar names, but they certainly meet the criteria that we've set out and that you approved as part of the steering committee framework, and they have been willing to come on board and work with the other 12 residents. Interestingly enough, our spread... given that we've got residents that are serving not only as residents but as members of a group, we went ahead and... Can I get this to work?
He's switching.
Thank you. We went ahead and mapped all these out so you can see what a great spread we have in the community. And I know that there's been interest in where we stand with regard to making sure that we hear the residents' voices. Based on the task force or the steering committee as it stands today, 80% of the steering committee are residents of Winter Park, 20% represent the business community and are outside. So, but those 20%, those four members, are actively engaged in the important aspects of Winter Park, including representing the Chamber of Commerce, Rollins College, the First Congregational Church, and the Health Foundation. I apologize. All of the folks who have agreed to serve have been part of this community for a long time. But the other members are all residents, so I feel we did very well in finding residents that are willing to serve.
I think you did as well, Dory. Someone came up to me at dinner on the Avenue this weekend and said, when are you going to be appointing the neighborhood representatives? And I said, well, that's literally the first 10 to 12 now.
We've done that, right?
That we've done. So mm-hmm. I think there was possibly some miscommunication out there. And the person said back to me, well, they're people, they're business people. They're business people in school, but they weren't chosen because of the business they represent. They're chosen because they're
right.
residents.
The 12 you appointed, business right. or not, were
right.
12 neighborhoods. Now, we're 12 appointees. I will say that there are two areas that we did not hit. We didn't hit Northley Road, and we didn't really hit the Orange Manor, Orange Avenue area. If you want to consider taking some names for those and maybe... You know, whether it's 20 or 22, I'm not really sure the dance is going to matter, but those were two. In fact, I did have a phone call from a group of folks from Lee Road today that were interested. It doesn't mean, though, that the appointments that we have will not be reaching out to those neighborhoods. That's the obligation of the steering committee.
I don't I personally, we are a group of five that represent the city. We are not districted, and we represent the city, I think, quite fine without living in every neighborhood in the city. I don't know if we need another two people or another three or four or five. We could do this all day and say, but we miss this subdivision
exactly.
of this neighborhood.
You can continue to grow it and grow it and grow it and grow
areas. But we did miss two entire very important planning areas. And one of those is Lee Road. If you just look at the graphics up there, that's pretty enormous. We have lots of neighborhoods out there. And while we can't assign a representative to each neighborhood, I really do think we should have at least one representative for the Lee Road corridor. And I think on the Fairbanks corridor in particular, since we are focusing on trying to create economic vitality there, that we ought to have one of the businesses out there on that board. You know, so for me, I would love to see those two planning areas, and we don't have a representative from the third planning area, which is the Orlando Avenue corridor. And I know I looked at lots of other visioning committees, and I listened to every word of all of the discussions. And the consultants are very capable of handling a committee of much larger than 25. But certainly, if you added a person for Lee Road, a person for Fairbanks, and a person for Orlando Avenue, I don't believe that would be a problem or an impediment to your progress at all.
The steering committee makeup, though, did include the general business person, and that would be the representative from the chamber, Rebecca Wilson. It's my feeling that she would be able to represent the Fairbanks Avenue and the Orlando Avenue business community. That's why we brought the chamber to the table, that they have those connections.
Commissioner McMacken, do you want to weigh in? Because I think we can take care of this pretty quickly.
Having sat through that, all of the consultants felt that a committee anywhere from 20 to 30 people was more than appropriate. I wasn't on that page, but they all were. So I'm going to take their professional, and I say to consultants we interviewed. So I could easily see us adding somebody, as long as we're already looking for one more person for the culture and heritage one. If we put one more person on there from the Lee Road area, sought out somebody from that area, I'd be. Mr. Mayor, I'd be fine with that. I agree with you in the context of it's going to be up to the steering committee and the consultant to reach out and make sure that every corner of the city is covered with this, so I don't feel that we have to have somebody in every spot.
And that's my concern. If we say somebody from Lee Road needs to be on that, then we're saying that Lee Road is not going to be paid attention to if they're not. And that's my worry. Commissioner Seidel.
As you know, my firm does economic work. When you look at this from the medium income level, most of the people are on the higher income level, where the Lee Road area and the Orwin Manor area are on the lower income level. So you could get a more balance with the income level with the people on the committee if you had one from Lee and one from the Orwin Manor area. And that's where, we've got the businesses represented quite well, it looks like. So when you talk Orlando Avenue and Fairbanks, there's plenty of business people that understand that. But the visioning is also for the residents. And so my personal opinion is Lee Road, we should have a resident from Lee Road area and a resident from the Orwin Manor.
Commissioner Sprinkle, go ahead, please.
I just don't want us to start deciding which neighborhoods need somebody, because I live right off of Loma, and I don't know if we got anybody right off of Loma. So if we start that, we will not end, okay? So what I would like us to do is we have one opening still left. I'd like for us to seek that opening from someone from Lee Road or Orwin Manor area and see what happens with that, because I don't want us to start doing the neighborhood thing. That, to me, is a task force issue, and that's when that's going to get started. So we still have a position available, but I don't want us to start deciding which neighborhood needs somebody.
I'm with Commissioner Sprinkle just to say this. I think that we're starting to then silo people and say they're only representing a business, they're only representing this. I know for a fact, I'm looking at Rebecca Wilson, she used to live in Orwin Manor, in a historic house in Orwin Manor. So she could possibly fit into three or four of these. Jeff Eisenbarth is right here. Pitt represents a number of places as well. So do you mind if we move on? Because I'd like to say we'll either have three to add.
I wouldn't mind. I'd like to talk about this just a minute. Sorry, Mayor.
That's okay.
I'd like to talk about it just a little bit because I think this goes back to our discussion of what the steering committee is going to do for us. And quite frankly, this originally was assigned to the steering committee to do. They were going to assign these additional people, and that was our agreement that we had with the steering committee, the people we brought on board. And that's what I told the people.
No, it was not.
Yes,
no, it was not. That was another agreement. So let's get real clear. We never agreed to that, Carolyn. Okay?
I thought that we did. My understanding from what our discussions were was that ultimately these additional people were going to be represented, and I had told the people on the steering committee that this would be their responsibility to recommend these additional people. I think it makes sense to allow them that opportunity, and I will tell you why. I think that group of 10 people probably could look at this list and find a representative of a health organization or higher education or a faith-based community that was a Winter Park resident. What we now have is recommendations from staff that include 4 out of the 6 recommendations are non-Winter Park residents. And while that may become the right thing to do, I think going into this, our discussion was that we would first try to fill these positions with Winter Park residents. And that's what I'd kind of like to give this back to the steering committee and allow them to look at what we're looking at. There was no way that we as a commission could have picked different neighborhoods because we weren't talking to each other about who we were picking. So, of course, we all picked people and they were plotted. But once they got plotted like this, it became very, very obvious. And Sarah, I'm not talking about neighborhoods, but within each of our planning areas, there may be 4 or 5 neighborhoods. But at least the planning area represents a geographic area of the city. And so it is important to me that, number one, we have all of the planning areas represented on our steering committee, because this whole thing is about trust. You want people to look at that steering committee and go, there's my neighbor. You know, there's the person like me, whether it's socioeconomic, whatever the tie-in is. I just want to make sure everybody feels represented on that committee. And I think when we come out of the hat with 4 non-residents and missing 2 entire planning areas, we need to do a little more work. That's all. I like what we've done. I just think we're not finished. And I would like to put this in the hands of the steering committee and ask them to take that additional refinement and come back to us with recommendations.
Well, guys, so here's what I'd like to do. First of all, I want to make one comment. That is, we just named a pavilion after a gentleman who didn't live in Winter Park, but he contributed significantly to Winter Park. So when we look at some of these people who don't live in Winter Park, they are here day in, day out, contributing to the welfare of the city. So I'm okay with this list. What I'd like to do is make a motion to approve what we've just been presented with today as a slate, and then we can take a second vote to see if we need to add people on it. So
I'll
my
second.
Motion is to move these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that have been presented. Dory, you'll be coming back with an 8th for the culture and heritage.
Yes.
Another one. So that is my motion right now on these. And I have a second from Commissioner
second.
Sprinkle. Great. Randy, how can I handle this from a vote perspective?
Well, you need to open it up to the public and then...
We do? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, Tom. And I'm happy if you'd like to make an amendment to add someone else.
I'm just thinking through the process here of trying to do this without coming back for another round of this.
Sure.
As I go through this, and I've heard Commissioner Cooper, mm-hmm. and I've heard the discussion here, personally, I am fine with the slate as presented, because the direction was to go out to these institutions and get somebody that they felt best represented them. And I believe that, as I look at the names here, most of them I'm familiar with, mm-hmm. and have a great deal of trust in their ability to serve on the steering committee. We have an additional spot, Sarah, that was open on the arts. What I'm pondering here is to accept the slate, there's two more spots open.
One more.
Well, there's one more spot open, and there's a need for potentially another person to cover the two planning things. Would like to get it all over with by saying we accept that, you know, that I could accept the slate and that there's two more positions that we're adding and they would represent the two planning areas that are currently not represented. And then we're done. And
so you're talking about one additive?
One additive to, because there's still a vacancy here, and adding one additive. We're done. It moves forward. Perfect.
If you make that amendment, I'm happy to support that.
Okay.
I think it's an amendment to the motion. It's an amendment to the motion.
The initial motion was that we accept the slate as it is, with the addition that we mentioned that Peter Schreier is the one individual that's from Arts and Culture.
Mm-hmm.
That left an additional person for Arts and Culture, which I would like to turn over to a planning district.
Okay, will you be specific to Orland Manor? To the
Lee Road?
Or the two that we're talking about are the Lee Road area and Orland Manor.
Okay.
And that would be the direction that we would give the staff to fill those additional two spots.
Is that a clear amendment for you, Cindy, and for you, Dory? Mm-hmm.
Did I mumble through that enough?
Okay.
And I would like to move that as an amendment.
A second? Great.
Just to clarify, that's going to total 21.
Yes.
So we now have an odd.
That's okay. We want to come on a tiebreaker.
We've been called out up here before.
That's why you're here. We have a tiebreaker now. That's why we're all here.
And that gets us...
Great.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Are we all done?
Do I have to agree for that to come back?
No. I'm sorry? We have a second on that.
Okay.
That's an amendment to the original motion, okay. So you're okay with that. Let's open that up to the public for a comment on that.
Thank you, Dory, for plotting that. Thank you.
Jeffrey Blydenberg, 204 Genius Drive. Are you going to be having a second discussion on the consultant? And there's
yes.
a second piece? To, okay.
So.
The piece that I would just have you consider as you're doing this is that ultimately there's probably, City of Orlando has just finished their visioning piece. They had 150 citizens on committees. They had a steering committee that was about, I think, 13, 14, and the core team was 78, and then there was another 60 on top of that, or 60, or whatever the math is. So I think what's going to happen here, regardless of what you decide to do with these two additional, is that all of these neighborhoods will get represented because the steering committee is going to want all those different task forces to come together. So whichever way you go is fine, and I'd like to come back and speak to the consultant. But just on that part, I think, you know, the steering committee can be instructed by the consultant and by staff saying, we want you to cover those and get more folks involved because the group is not voting. They're working towards bringing materials together.
Okay.
So I think that'll work for you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Monty Plank, 1112 Turner Road. Over on the Lee Road side of this exciting city. This exciting city also is going through quite the dynamic changes, as nobody knows better than each of you. Particularly over in the Lee Road area, we have our own issues that are different than what you share at the city core or any other corner or side of your jurisdiction. I just want to say thank you very much for the opportunity to consider including a representative from our area. I'm not interested. I know some very capable, smart people in my neighborhood. We do have a whole litany of issues that are very specific and peculiar to us. So certainly from a Lee Road resident, I certainly thank you for looking at amending this motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Bodie, 1033 Lake Bell. I'd just like to reiterate what Monty said. And I'm also from the Lee Road area. And the amount of changes that we are faced with going forward in the next 5 to 6, 7 years is going to be extremely dramatic, from the amount of traffic to just the development of Ravindaj in general. And there are several other developments going on. And I think that without someone from Lee Road putting and sharing that you're going to be missing, or the steering committee will be missing something. So I'd like to say thank you for considering it also.
Thanks, Mr. Bode. Anyone else? Great. Randy, I'm gonna call for a vote on this, and then we can take up the visioning. What time do we have? Are we near 5?
Yeah, I always think it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we have 5 o'clock. The visioning committee is going to obviously kind of take a little bit longer, so you guys want to take a break after this vote?
We can do that and do a break. Great. And come back.
Is there any more commission discussion on the visit on the committee? Great. Cindy, will you call the roll on that, please?
Yes. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I apologize. This is on the amendment to the motion. My apologies.
Commissioner Seidel?
Still yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now the main motion as amended.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. We have a few minutes. Would you like to take a break? Do we want to? I hate to get into the middle of the visioning. If we get into the middle of the RFP,
is it really 4:57?
It's 4:57. If we take a 5 minute, we have to. Well, we can take. We have to take those at 5 at the earliest. Correct, Larry? I have to wait until at least 5.
Actually, it's not a legal requirement. That's just your internal rule.
You could open it now, and then when you come back from break, you could open it in case somebody came in.
That sounds like a great plan. Great. Why don't we open up the public comment for anything that anyone would like to address the commission that's not coming before the commission this evening? Please step forward, fill out a yellow card, and have at it. No. Okay, we will readdress this after. We don't want to take a break or just move right on into the.
Can we take a
15 minutes?
Yeah.
Great, let's come back. It's 5:15? Okay.
Perfect.
Great. Folks, we'll take come back at 5:15. Yes, please. Thank you. Mr. Cooper?
I will speak for myself. I be here.
Oh, no, I think they're coming back. Hey, Dory.
We did publish. Just close those doors. We have to do it again.
He was going to open it after because it went quite 5 o'clock.
Folks, before we broke for a coffee break, we opened the floor for public comment. Those of you that missed it, if there's anyone here that would like to address the commission on something that's not coming before the commission tonight, please feel free to step forward. Okay, seeing none. Dory, let's move on to the award of the RFP.
Yes, Mayor. The history of this is in your packet. We went through the city's RFP process. The selection committees consisted of Commissioner Tom McMacken, Randy Knight, Clarissa Howard, and myself. We issued the RFP. We got the responses back in early March. We had 10 different responses to the RFP that were eligible. The steering committee met on March 17th. I think it's the 17th. And we shortlisted to 3 firms. We heard oral presentations from 3 firms, and upon discussion, moved to ask the commission to consider Logan Simpson for our representative and our consulting services for the visioning. Logan Simpson is a firm out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Bruce Meehan is here tonight to say hello, and their sub is also Kim Lee Horn, and Cliff Tate is here as well in the audience. We feel, as a steering committee, they will do a great job for us. And Commissioner McMacken, did you have anything you wanted to add with regard to the steering committee process or the selection committee process or the selection?
Dory, I think you covered it. I mean, we did. I was pleasantly surprised that we had 10 firms, very qualified firms, submit. And we did narrow that down to 3 and went through a fun day of ranking these firms. And
it's fun for you because you're on this side.
It's fun actually sitting on the other side of this for a change and saying, yeah, I know where this one's going, you know, kind of thing. But I must say that the 3 firms we shortlisted, when it got down to the end, we were talking about, do you like
you know, yellow, blue, or green M&Ms. I mean, it was they were all competent, and I share Dory's comment that any one of the three could stand up here and do a good job for us, and the one we select I have great confidence in, and the steering committee did its job.
Right.
And so I stand behind the recommendations they brought forward.
So what we'd be asking the commission tonight is to approve $200,000 for visioning. We did up the original budget from Logan Simpson by $2,500 to include five more additional meetings that we thought would be useful into the process. We would like the commission to authorize the mayor to sign the contract with Logan Simpson and begin the kickoff process. I apologize for sending you the notice of the kickoff meeting. I know some of you are interested in finding out these things, others may not be, and just on the to be conservative, and I sent it to all. So they will be posted on a visioning page, and naturally part of the visioning scope is to develop a much broader visioning website, and we'll have all the visioning information at that once we get our consultant on board. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have about the selection and any questions you may have about the consultants.
Let's start at the end. Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah, I have one question really. Was, and I am a consultant by trade, and also I don't specifically work with Kinley Horn, but I know people there. So I don't know if I need to not vote on this or not.
There's no conflict that requires abstention.
Okay.
The vote doesn't inure to your special private gain. Sorry. The vote does not inure to your special private gain or that of a relative, nor are you employed by them.
No.
So you're okay.
I don't have any contract with either of them.
You're fine.
But being in this type of business, my question was with regards to the contract amount and with regards to the amount of excitement there is in the city to do the visioning process and the amount of input that people want to have. And I was involved in the process, so this is more of a question, but from a cost control perspective, the $200,000 that you're asking for, is that with expected supplementals or not expected supplementals?
I don't expect supplementals. What I do expect is that the city, one of the things that we did talk about with regard to the contract are there are things that the city does very well. We do notification very well. We do postcards and mailers within utility bills and that sort of coverage very well. Those are the things that I anticipate the city continuing to remain. So there will be some additional costs that come out of all that. The $200,000 really deals directly with the budget, including the public meetings for the consultant.
Okay, thank you.
And Commissioner, that was discussed with all three of the finalists that the city would be able to help in certain areas and assist that. So.
But do we have a number of total exposure?
I haven't developed one yet. My thought would probably be somewhere between an additional 30 to 40,000 if it came to the amount of postcards and how we start playing with the social media side of it.
This is 15
right.
15 to 20%.
I mean, we definitely want to make sure we get adequate coverage. We have the ability to leverage the resources that we have in-house, including design and postcards and things like that that we already do.
I understand. I just think we should put some type of cap, some to 10%. We're already proposing 200, which is a big number for this for many, and I think for all of us up here it's a big number.
Yeah.
And to look at a 15 to 20% on top of that is significant. So I think you need to be wary of that, at least from one seat up here.
I'm happy to work with Clarissa. She and I can put something together with a consultant, and we'll come up with a.
Because that would be city exposure of above and beyond 200. So we can,
okay.
We're obviously empowered to cap that at anything we want to. Anything we need to or felt comfortable with. But the base contract was
sure.
With the consultant was 42.
Right. That's their amount, and I don't expect any additional work orders coming up.
Yeah, and I guess from being involved in not specifically these types of things, but the finish line can often move when something comes up. And I'm sure if it's a big enough move that you guys would come back here and we would discuss
absolutely.
It. But that's kind of where I'm going with that, is that there's a lot of people involved and a lot of things trying to be done, and it's important for your department to just kind of, this is where we're trying to get to, this is where we're trying to go. And a lot of times, the scope, because, it can go five different ways, but there's only three in the budget.
so we need to keep on those three and decide which are the three most important.
I would answer to, one of the important things that we've talked about is to make sure that the scope works and to make sure that the community is wants this scope and that we feel as we're going forward as the scope works. And I agree, Commissioner, if we need to do an adjustment, that is something that requires a dialogue not only with the steering committee but with the commission at the same time. And we'll be sure to, always in the forefront of that, of being fiscally conservative. That is something that I feel very cautious about.
Yeah, if I could just add one more thing.
Sure.
I mean, generally, this seems like plenty of money to do it. I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that we should be able to get a good product for what we're paying.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I think you have consensus up here on that. but I want to address something, and it's just, and I apologize, Commissioner Cooper, Sprinkle. Jeez, keep doing that to you.
It's okay. Do you want me to ask my question now?
Would you mind if I did? One quick thing. Commissioner Seidel brought up a good point. It was something we discussed with the previous commission, and that is the finish line. To me, the finish line is interesting because we've talked about how this could possibly impact the coming, the next comprehensive plan. And I hate to see the finish line for this be the delivery and the presentation. And I don't know if we want to reconsider that, Commission, but I do think that if we're going to expend the amount of energy and monies to go through this visioning process, I would think that the residents of Winter Park would want it to impact a document that's going to impact the next 20, 30 years like a comprehensive plan. So it's not currently set to do that.
Correct. It's impossible. The comprehensive plan deals with statutory requirements that are not covered in visioning.
Right.
It really is two very, very separate things, your vision document and your comprehensive plan. I see the vision document being that 50,000 square foot view. Square foot, you can tell I'm a planner. 50,000 mile view. I don't believe the $200,000 that we have aside for visioning is can write the comp plan. I think it gives the guidance to start another, to follow up this community dialogue with another community dialogue about the comprehensive plan.
And Dory, that's where I was going. I don't believe I believe it should inform it.
And
I think it needs to be held.
At the end of the day, what I want to get out of this are those guidance or those opportunities for dialogue about the comp plan. And,
okay.
and as we start that dialogue about the comp plan and let it flow very organically into the comprehensive plan process.
Good. Thank you. I'm sorry. Commissioner Sprinkle.
So I want to make two comments because I think from what I hear and the people that I know, very few of them care about anything other than what is going to be the future of our city. So my goal is that people will feel as though they were heard because they were heard and that we can involve everyone who wants to be involved, everybody who's written us an email, all of those people I want to see working on a task force or in some form or fashion that we are enabling everybody who wants to participate to participate. And the deal for me about the invitation, I want us to be together on it, okay, in the sense that, hey, are we supposed to be there? Because you all know I'm going to go everywhere I'm supposed to go. But I also don't want to interfere with what our consultants are doing. And I do think people tend to think when a commissioner shows up, they change a little bit about what they're going to say. So I'm real happy for them to work, but I want to be a part of it. So I want us to have some agreement about that. But my third question, okay, is really not for you. It's for Tom, who is, in essence, our representative. And I want Tom to tell us what set this group apart from the other two that you got to hear from when you had your personal meeting and the personal oral presentation, just out of curiosity.
You know, they weren't my highest ranked team initially, and I think a lot of that speaks to proposals are black and white and discussions are personal. I was impressed with their level of community outreach.
Okay.
I was impressed by their spirit. I think they're entering this thing as if you've seen they actually cob one of my ideas, but for the love of Winter Park,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you start. And I think that transcends so much of the, we'll say, the nuances that have been occurring outside of this discussion. And I think that's really what it's all about. And they recognize that they spent the time to come here initially
and actually talk to some citizens just on the street to get a feeling for that. I think they have a tremendous ability, or there's a process, and I don't want to butcher the process, but the understanding of tracking, as we talked about outreach, their system of documenting participation in this.
Good.
To be able to say, hey, we've reached 5 of the 7 areas and we're not getting response from areas 6 and 7. We need to shift resources there to get that. I think they have a very good understanding of how you do cover all the bases in the community.
Good.
So they, as that's why you do the orals, because a proposal is black and it's like an email. It doesn't have the emotion, and an oral does. And they were able to back up and represent to me a process that I think is different than just your, we're coming in and we're going to do A, B, C, and D. I believe that they are tremendously involved in this process and bring a personality to it.
Right.
And that's what caught my eye. And so, any one of the three firms could be on here. I much like Greg, I'm in the business, and you sit at the table, and it's almost like you're sitting with your relatives because you know all the people there, and you've come across them one way or another. And so that was an interesting discussion. But I thought they caught the spirit of vision,
great,
which to me is the most important thing in my mind.
Commissioner Cooper.
Yes, I would kind of like to have a little conversation about this, if you don't mind. Initially looked through the ranking sheets of the proposal selection committee, and I noticed that in the ranking where they were simply reviewing your written word, everyone agreed that either WRT or PNEX were 1 and 2 on everyone's list, but you were actually number 8 on one list and later changed to number 1. And I understand how those things happen, but my background is director of contracts for Lockheed Martin, and I can tell you when I see that kind of disparity, a warning flag goes up. So I went and I listened to all of the conversations, all of the proposals. You bring an incredible level of excitement and a desire to engage and participate, and that was very positive. On the flip side of that, it appeared to me that possibly you had less experience with visioning than your 2 competitors. Your proposal was definitely more creative. Your experience of your team members appeared to be more shallow than your competitors. And my biggest concern was the strength of the community surveys. That is critical to me. I noticed that PNEX had a $20,000 statistically validated, mailed to the residents' home survey, and I would love for you to help me a little bit with that, but what I saw was a great reliance on electronic surveys. I saw surveys being gathered in kind of a festival environment in the park, and having had 5 children, I appreciate going to the park in the heat and having a party and playing music and wearing a t-shirt and being asked survey questions, but I'm very interested in validatable, defensible, thoughtful. I want to hear from those young families, but I don't want that mother to be giving me that input while she's dealing with 90-degree heat and 4 kids playing in the park. So I would say to you, I'm gung-ho on your kickoff event. I have listened to the TED Talks. I appreciate that feeling that you bring, but I also know that you are entering a community where your credibility must be, I don't want to have to spend a lot of time defending your credibility. And if I just look at the proposals, that's sort of the feeling I come away with. I think fun and emotion-driven is awesome, but when my critics are condemning me and they've given up on all other avenues, they say that was an emotional decision. So you need to be aware of that going in, that your credibility has to scream. I mean, you have to make it very, very clear. I appreciated that you are able to home in on who you're getting surveys from. I know you can do that electronically. I don't know that you can do that in the park next to SunRail with moms and kids. That's going to be a little tougher. I would like to see you separate the raw team building from the data gathering, because I want thoughtful input from everybody who answers a question to you. If it were my choice, I would love to hire you for team building, and I would love to hire PNEX for this project. They have much deeper experience. They have a $20,000 mail surveys going into the homes of the taxpayers of Winter Park. I liked that. I couldn't tell about yours. And additionally, I've spent a lot of time in Cary, North Carolina, and I know Cary, North Carolina is a lot more like the city of Winter Park than 192 in Osceola County. So for me, this would not be my first choice. I am thrilled that the degree of fun and enthusiasm you will bring if selected, and I trust that you will really focus on not giving us too big of a job to have to defend credibility. You know, and I'm counting on you for that. So that's sort of where I'm at. I would love to ask the commission to support PNEX. WRT and PNEX appeared to be neck to neck to me as far as experience and bench strength and relevancy and end product. I didn't ever see what this end product looks like. It wasn't in the proposal. But WRT, to me, we've already gotten their input. Quite frankly, I wouldn't expect a whole lot to change. I think we've already benefited from WRT's input. So I know PNEX was disqualified because of finances, but as I looked through it, the scopes weren't consistent proposal to proposal, so I don't know how that works out.
If I could
yes,
correct
oh, I'm
that.
Done,
I,
honestly. I just wanted you to know
that. I just want to make clear, I don't believe, or at least not from my standpoint, that PNEX was left out because of the finances. That at least was not a overriding consideration.
That wasn't the only consideration.
Yes,
certainly.
Thank you.
Well, that's where I am. So my concern is, how do we make sure that it is not only credible, but it's unnecessary for us to spend much time defending that it is credible. When you start talking about touchy-feely, the word emotion, the word squishy was used over and over in discussion of your proposal. This community is really into validatability of whatever you do, and I don't want to have to defend it. So credibility has to be obvious, and please don't take input from people that are exhausted and distracted. We need their 100%. They need to understand the consequences and be able to discuss those things with you of their choices. Thank you.
Commissioner McMahon.
No, I've made my recommendation. I stand by the recommendation that the selection committee made, and I appreciated the process. I think it was well run, and I really think we, as a group, had lengthy discussions about all this. And again, I'm going to have to. My name's on it as well.
Yeah.
Probably more so than most. So I need to. I have the target right here, and I'm willing to accept that in recommendation of this consultant.
Great, thank you. And I've heard good things, and I have no doubt that I don't believe you would have gotten into the process if there was lack of credibility. There are going to be some that question everything. We also have a very credible staff and group that pulled together this recommendation, so I wanted to be sure that you understand that you have the respect of this commission for the work that you've done in order to bring forward three credible and honorable groups. So thank you for submitting it. I'd also like to make a motion to moving the appointment and the acceptance of recommendation for Logan Simpson for the RFP.
I'll second.
I'd like to make an amendment, please.
Certainly.
That the scope of work, if it does not now, and it was a little bit unclear, be broadened to include a statistically validatable mailed surveys to the residents of Winter Park. And I understand that might have a price tag associated with it, and I personally am comfortable expending those additional resources to make that happen.
I'll second that for the purpose of the discussion, at least.
Would you care to discuss it now, or move?
Well,
to
I you know, again, comments? We discussed that, and Dory, I'd help me out because I'm old and sometimes I forget these things. I mean, we discussed that throughout with all the consultants, mm-hmm. about the requirement for a statistically viable survey, and help me when, and
I believe we even talked about there was room in this scope to
do
that.
At it's the male part that's of concern to me.
And I
feel that the scope, including the $200,000, can encompass.
Can wonderful.
That's,
we'll make it work.
It's a method of you know, I mean, again, we talked about various means of outreach, and I just want to make sure that somewhere that's covered, and I believe that it is in there, and that's why I'm asking for a little help.
I think that the scope of work, from my perspective, and I have also, while not sat through one of these, but I've consulted on a bunch of things in a previous life, this is not an a la carte menu. I mean, you're coming at us with a recommendation on how to get
right.
the best input from the community. And if a mail survey, it may be the front runner in another menu, and yet it may not be in this one. So, again, I have the faith of the consultant to come forward with the recommendation that they come forward with, and that could certainly be tweaked as we move forward, but I'm not comfortable right now saying it's got to include this. I think that is we're immediately putting handcuffs, and I don't think anybody who sat as a consultant at any time of their career would say, well, we got to work this thing in now. I'm looking for the best possible outcome and the best possible way to reach into the community. And
can
if that includes it,
perhaps, Mayor?
It can. Certainly, Dora.
The steering committee is meeting the consultant at their meeting on the 29th. I think this would be an absolutely fantastic topic for the steering committee to discuss with regard to looking at the scope and looking at a survey instrument and whether it how it fits in. Could I ask you all as a commission to allow us the latitude to take this to the steering committee and go through this scope with them and see and get their input as to that
I think what we have right now, we have an amendment on the table for this, so it's got to be voted up or down here at this stage. I'm happy for you to discuss it as part of the scope with the steering committee and the consultant, but right now we are voting this up and down unless the amendment's pulled. So it was offered.
I have a question, Dory. Can you explain to me, because it was a little difficult to put my fingers on, exactly what your survey component is? Because I could see in the opposing proposals very clearly what they were proposing, but I couldn't understand completely this one. So if somebody could define it for me, that would be helpful.
So you're going to say hello and answer questions at the same time. So
correct.
Welcome to Winter Park.
Thank you, sir. You guys don't want to make them reconsider, right?
One of the keys they say in making sure that you seem intelligent is to say less, so I'll try to say very few words here. But I want to say that I've enjoyed the process.
Please introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, and I'm Bruce Amin with Logan Simpson. I'd be your project manager.
Thanks, Bruce.
I've enjoyed the process from beginning to end, including writing a very creative proposal that really does it differently. That being said, to answer the commissioner's question, there is a statistically valid survey. However, you've obviously gone through this and in great detail. It is an electronic survey. So right now, the intent of this was to track who we've gotten to make sure that it meets the qualifications of a statistically valid survey. And to do that at a time period where we're reaching out to very individual neighborhoods at that time so they are not distracted. So I think it does meet your intent. However, we have not put in the cost of a follow-up survey where we send out a mailed survey just because of impersonality of that. However, if we find out that it's not statistically valid, we do have the ability to put people out into the neighborhoods to actually talk to people and say, please get engaged. Again, trying to do things a little bit different, but also meet the intent of being statistically valid. Thank you.
And my concern about that was that a large portion of our demographics, either older or that are not electronically connected, I don't want to have their input marginalized. It's very important to me that those people have a very clear opportunity. And I think I'm a supporter of mail surveys, so I hear what you're saying, that yours is an electronic survey at this point.
At this point.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Commissioner?
I don't want to add any amendments to this simply because as it stands now, it looks like it's going to be something that's got a lot of creativity involved in it. And before, I don't want to be second guessing, and I'm not going to be an armchair quarterback. We got a whole city full of people like that. So I will tell you that I would love to see this move forward as it is without any amendments on it. And then from that point on, if there's any issues, I believe the steering committee and the task force together are going to come back and tell us that. And I would trust that this system is going to work with that. So there is a trust involved in it, but I'd like to move forward with it the way it is. I have a lot of faith in Tom and what he did and the decision he made, and I'd like to honor that decision by voting in favor of it the way it is now.
Great. All wrapped up? Can we have some citizen input? Thank you. Anyone like to address this issue before the commission, please step forward.
Hello again. Jeffrey Blydenberg, 204 Genius. I have been honored to be asked to serve as one of the members of the steering committee. I can assure you, just speaking for myself, that the steering committee is going to make sure that there is as much input as possible in this process. Speaking as a consultant who does the same kind of work that Tom does and kind of work that Greg does, getting input from people is really hard. We're doing a process right now where we sent out a survey to 6,000 people. We got 300 people responded back. We did, on the other hand, we identified 200 people to interview, and we've interviewed 95 of them. And it's been very, very useful. There's not enough money in the city budget to interview 28,000 people, which would be really great, but it would take 28,000 hours, and we don't have the time to do that. There are a lot of different ways to get the input of the residents towards the future vision. And the steering committee, I'm sure, is going to be watching that and ever mindful of that. On the consultant selection, when I first saw the rankings and so I said, oh, okay, that looks pretty interesting. Didn't really know anything about Logan Simpson. Went on the website and said, doesn't look like they have a whole lot of visioning experience. And so I was kind of, wow, why is that happening? But then I took the time, I went in and looked at all three proposals, reviewed them for about an hour and a half and read each one and said, these guys hit it. Exactly. Didn't hear the interviews, but they absolutely hit it in terms of knowing what to do for this city. So I would support you approving their consultancy for this, especially at a $200,000 lump sum, no changes. That's a bargain. It's a huge amount of work. They're going to be working for a year. They're working with 28,000 people. We're working with a great staff and a great commission. It's not – Winter Park, as we all know, is a hard place to work because we are a tough client. So and a good client, but that part's fine. The last piece I would say is that – or two pieces. One, this vision plan is for 30 years out. I will be 97 when that happens.
Congratulations.
A lot of this, if I get there.
I'm hoping
if I get there. We don't have anybody in the steering committee that's 20 years old. We desperately need to be able to get to your kids and to your grandchildren. That's who needs to be in this. So we got it. So consultant, that's really important. That's why all the friendly, all that stuff, because we got to get the input and however we get that. And then finally, the vision is about what we want to be. There's a lot of steps after this. And I'll just give you an example. I mean, there's parts of the city, Lake Nona made a decision about what they wanted to be, medical city. And it's a clear decision that Tavistock made to be what they wanted to be there. Downtown Orlando is taking a direction that they want to be. We're looking in a direction of what we want to be. Do I have a little bit more?
Yes, absolutely.
Of what we want to be. Not yet what we want to look like. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Because depending on what we say as a community we want to be, then we'll start, oh, well, that means that we got to have this kind of look for Fairbanks and this kind of look for this. It's all, you know. So the first step is a really important step. We've never done it. Not since Oliver... since Chapman and Chase came here and said, we're going to make a resort. That's the first time there was a vision statement. It's the last time there was a vision statement. We're going to do it again, finally. This is great. You know, I've been up here harping on this for about 7 years. So I'm really glad we're doing it. But I'm confident that this group is going to be out there.
They've got a process to get to all the residents, and we've got a steering committee that is going to be large and watching this very carefully and that cares every bit as much as every one of you do to make sure it gets done right. So I would encourage you to approve this consultant and let us get started.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
Nancy Schutz, 2010 Brandywine Drive. I guess I'm talking to you as much as anybody. 40 years ago, I was on the Parks and Recreation Board. So in the last 40 years, my knowledge and interest has gone from ball fields to lights at Showalter to the parks to the trees. So as my interests have changed, my knowledge has changed. So I'm a very good example of our community. Now, I probably know more than 95% of our community, as you all know, because I, for some dumb reason, spend the time reading things. Don't ask me why. But my problem and my concern is that just like when I was trying to fill out Mayor Leary's little survey the other day, I no longer go to some of the places where he was asking questions. So I had no basis for answering a question that is really, really important, because that's going to be my grandchildren's playgrounds or playgrounds, ball fields. So I called staff, but the normal person in our community isn't going to do that. They wouldn't know who to call. So we're going to be asking people questions about things they have no idea the basis of, what we already have or don't have, what it would cost. So as I have been saying since we first started talking about visioning, what's our end result? After we get this vision, then what do we do? And how can you ask people questions if we haven't taken the time to have city meetings and city information so they know where we are on all of these things, how our city runs financially? I mean, when you sit up here for the last three budget cycles and say there's no wiggle room, there's no wiggle room, we don't have any extra money, so you have to decide, are we going to put, you know, are we going to fix that pothole? Are we going to put that group's going to get a little money? The community is not educated to be asked questions without educating them first. So I hope that's one of the first things you're going to do is don't ask people questions that they don't. I mean, anybody can say, oh, I want trees, or I don't want any potholes, or I want undergrounding. Well, what are you going to do first? Well, if we have a vision of what we want to look like, you got to be able to accomplish it in the end.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Martha Bryan Hall, 331 West Lyman Avenue. Well, congratulations, Mayor, and congratulations, Commissioner.
Thank you.
As a longtime resident of Winter Park here and in Maitland, I would like to say that I became involved years ago with the human relation, and that's been many years ago. I worked involved with the comprehensive development plan and also the land trust. I would like to make sure that the residents are involved and that I have not gotten a survey, and if I have, I don't recall. But that if the people, especially on the Hannibal area, the west side, that they are involved, that we will know what is happening, you know, rather than, because we have spoken out for many years, and we have come before council many years, and some things that we have requested was never taken into consideration. So I'm happy to in favor of the task force for the visioning of Winter Park, because I think everyone in here loves Winter Park, and we would like for it to be a city that involved and is inclusive with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? We will close the floor.
Thank you.
Commission, further discussion? No? My only comment is I want to give the consultant the flexibility that they need, and I don't want to restrict it. I'll be voting against the amendment for that reason. I think that they will come up, and they will make sure that everybody's represented. I also think the integration of technology into some of those sectors, into the senior sector. I know some of the retirement homes are very active online, and they fill out a lot of they're very internet savvy. So I don't think it's necessary right now, but if it comes forward as part of your discovery and as part of the recommendation from the task force, I'm happy to support it. Okay. Cindy, would you call the roll, please? On the amendment first, please.
Yes. Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Leary?
No. And now the main motion.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Dory. Thank you, Ruth. Okay. We have a public hearing. It's a second reading of the ordinance. Larry, can we do a dual reading here?
Yes, you can do that.
Would you give it 1 second until they clear up, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So I'll read both titles, and you'll do a simultaneous public hearing and
yes, sir.
Two votes.
Two votes, absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. An ordinance, if you're ready, an ordinance yes. of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to establish single-family residential future land use on the annexed property at 1802 Stonehurst Road, and to indicate the annexation on the other maps within the comprehensive plan, more particularly described herein. Then an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article 3 Zoning and the official zoning map so as to establish single-family R1AA zoning on the annexed property at 1802 Stonehurst Road, more particularly described herein.
Great. This came to us second reading with a 6060 vote at P&Z. Do we have a motion?
I would like to move the ordinance to amend the comprehensive plan for future land use.
Fantastic. And I'll second.
Great. Commissioner Sprinkle, do we have a motion on the second ordinance?
I'm happy to second, have a motion for the second ordinance amending the official zoning map to establish single family.
Second.
Great. Commissioner Cooper was second.
Got it. All together. Yay.
Is there any discussion up at the commission level?
Not for me, sir.
No. Folks, anyone wishing to address the commission on this matter? Seeing none, are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Cindy, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
We are voting on the first one.
Yes, I apologize. This was on your motion, Commissioner.
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now on the second ordinance amending the zoning map.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. The second reading, Larry, would you read this as well?
Yes, sir. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning an electric distribution easement located at 326 Hannibal Square, Winter Park, Florida, more particularly described herein, providing for conflicts and an effective date.
This, again, is a second reading. Is there a motion to move this?
I'll move it. Second.
Second by Commissioner Cooper. Any discussion on the commission? No. Any public? Is there any public?
It's like the dinner table, man. You got to.
I'm still flipping pages.
Great. Well, if there's any public input, none. Fantastic. Are you ready to vote? Cindy, would you please call the roll?
Sure will. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Commission reports. Commissioner Seidel? Anything to report, sir?
You're first.
Always.
Yeah. I'm still flipping papers. Over here.
No, really just, again, I'm easing into things, and I did get a lot of emails regarding the survey, and I would like to say I thought that was handled extremely well by everybody here today.
that there was, you know, I think ultimately the goal is for us to do the right thing. We're all working on that. Then the, you know, with my agenda that I ran on with regard to the undergrounding and regard to the traffic, I do have some meetings scheduled. I have one with Dory to talk to her about some of the traffic, and I've met with Jerry Warren once already. I'm going to be meeting with Jerry again. So as I gather more information on those items, I'll be looking to come forward with some ideas and thoughts on those things.
Great. Commissioner Sprinkle.
I'll just report back that I got to start the Easter egg hunt, that our Parks and Rec Department did a fabulous job. 10,000 eggs, it took them about 30 minutes to hide, and they were picked up in half a second. So let me just tell you, it was great. It was great fun to see so many wonderful families out there for that day. So it was great fun for me. I wanted to tell you that where I work, we have a actual nameplate on the person who greets people who come to us. This is for Juanita, that's called the Director of First Impressions. And I will tell you that she is really a wonderful Director of First Impressions. And so I'm always glad when she receives that kind of accolades. I also know that a whole new group of Tiger Grants have just been let out by the federal government, so it'd be great if we have a process in place to start looking at those to see if we can get some of those, start looking for them. The other thing that coincides with what Greg said, there's been a couple things that I feel like we are, in our commission reports, that we're leaving hanging. Okay, so one of them is he's schooling himself up on what all we're doing with traffic and what all we're doing with undergrounding, and I do think those are two big issues that we as a commission need to address. So as he's coming forward with that and with his expertise, we're going to look to you, Greg, for some direction with that, because we have a great staff out there, but I still think we probably need a little more with that. Okay, so that's just lay it on the table now that that's something.
Could I piggyback on that real quick?
And then I still have one more, so yeah, go ahead.
But we, you know, there was a time that we used to do the 90-day or so look ahead, and we had that, and it might just be helpful if we, in that spirit, reinitiated that and said, here's the issues we see coming forward, and you know that Randy has on the plate, and we can add to those or whatever. But I always found that helpful to know that yes, in you know May, June, July, whatever it is, here's issues that are coming up, and that may help us not forget the things that we have actually discussed. We did that at one time, and we just kind of drifted away from it. Sorry for
sure.
Well, that, I just want.
If I don't say it, I'll forget.
No. I'm so glad you said that, because it's just one of those things that sometimes when somebody asks me, "Have you talked about this?" and I'm thinking, "Well, I want to talk about it, but when is it going to happen?" So I wanted us to lay that out, and then the last issue is the one we just had, which was talking about how the steering committee and the visioning is all taking place. And I think, as a group of five people up here, we need some ground rules that say, okay, team, back off, okay? And that's just me, Sarah, talking, okay? So I think we need that, because I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want anybody out there second-guessing them. I want to give them all the support they need. But I also don't want us up here wondering whether or not they're doing what we want, because I really don't have this we want thing. I have this thing of I can't wait to get the whole community involved. So
that is what we want.
That is what we want. So maybe I'm just saying that to us as a group, that maybe we need to make sure we don't get too involved. And so that's why I asked the question about where should we be going? Because I don't want anybody to think I'm not concerned, but I don't want us to be the drivers.
No.
I mean, we've just given it to somebody else and let them drive. Okay? That's just Sarah talking. Okay?
Yeah, I kind of assumed that the people we selected would get back to us and let us know what was going on and see what we thought of things. And
that's the way it's set up to
kind of share.
That's my understanding, is that periodically we would hear from the committee in one way, shape, or form that says, yes, we're moving forward. And again,
okay.
Yes. I'm on that page, Sarah.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
So.
Commissioner Cooper.
Yes. I know that we all received the email this week from the person turning 100 years old that wanted to talk about having something named after them. And my thought about that was, I hope within the next 10 years, we have lots of people turning 100 years old on the one hand. On the second hand, I want to do something to celebrate it. And I don't know if we could ask the Parks Board about
what their recommendations might be in that regard, because I know we don't have enough parks or enough benches in the world for that, but there are things we can do, and I think Kenneth Murr's tree was an example of that. If we're going to be planting 100 trees a quarter, there's no problem with putting a plaque at some of those trees. So that was just a thought, and whatever their ideas might be, I don't know if I could get support for that, but I'd love to ask the Parks Board to think about it and what they might be able to do.
Well, didn't we just say when we were talking earlier that we're going to come back with something? I know I've taken proclamations out to people celebrating 100 years.
And we're doing a proclamation, and we've offered them a bench for that park because the park is right across. The park is in the median at Sunset and Chestnut, I think it is, one of those streets.
Commissioner's point is, can we get something firmed up outside of a park and outside of a major structure? Is there a way to donate a tree? Is there a way to get bricks or something that we can all that are not necessary? Yeah, we don't have to create a new park to name something, but it would be nice. I think the tree is appropriate for Mr. Murrah. Things like that. If someone wants to donate money to put a tree or a park bench.
Just going forward.
Yeah, and one of the ladies stopped me on the way out and said, we did not know how to go about this naming of the pavilion, so it was a very long process, but perhaps there's something we could put in place to name a tree. If you'd like to name a tree and we could go plant it, I think that's what we're looking for.
I'm just trying to think of something sustainable.
Yes.
That would the city could
that's not
out
of price range and not over
exactly,
the top.
Okay. Exactly. And then the other thing was I noticed that the application notice went out on City News for the boards. And since today is the deadline, I was going to ask you if it's possible to send out your one last blast for today and give people an opportunity. I think Monday, April the 13th. So I realize the day is sort of at an end, but since this came out quite a while ago, I think. So I don't know if we could do something again.
If people are still applying, I'm happy
to. It's okay.
Yes, absolutely, without question. We have received a lot of applications.
Good.
But sure, absolutely. If you speak to people, have them send in applications.
And then I have two more quick things. One of them is, this was a great weekend between dinner on the Avenue. And on Saturday morning, I had the most incredible experience with the Parks Department.
I was driving by, I saw that group going on.
I just have to say, Joe Smirty is our director of plantings in Winter Park, and he works for Chuck Trice, and the two of them were out there, and I'll tell you, the residents were mesmerized, and he did an incredible job, and just the passion that he brings to what he does and the expertise, it was inspiring, and I hope that we'll make that kind of an ongoing thing. It was exciting, and I think you could get ambassadors from the Garden Club to come and learn from him, and we could multiply that excitement throughout the town. I know there are volunteers that would step up to that, but I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. And I'll pass that along.
Oh, please do.
Joe. He was nervous about doing that, and
oh, he was great.
I've taken a personal tour with him before, and he does a great job.
Yeah, so. He really did a great job. Very, very professional. And the last thing is about budget adjustments. Like tonight, we approved the visioning, and one of the elements of the visioning talked about it, if it wasn't in the budget that we'd already set aside, the CRA could take responsibility for funding it. When we make those kind of decisions, I would be far more comfortable if I could understand the adjustment in the budget. If I could understand either it's coming out of reserves or what we're doing without in order to do something. Because everything we do costs something, and the question is, are we foregoing something else, or did that come out of reserves?
Well, I think as long as it's under $50,000, that's a discretion of the city manager.
Well, I understand. I just sort of like to understand what, because we passed the budget, and we said these are the things we're going to fund, and some of those were very small. And if I'm imposing on that by wanting something else, I just want to know it. That's all.
I think.
It's just a
you tell us if we're taking money away from something.
Right.
Sure.
If it's reserves, I have no problem with that. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner McMackin.
Once again, dinner on the Avenue.
Yes. You were superb, too.
I was told I had a great time. So.
We need pictures.
Oh, they're all over Facebook. Don't worry. Yeah. No, that to me... you know, to have this community turn out like that and to have so much fun, that's why you live here. I mean, it really is. It is just a great thing. Thank you, staff.
Yes.
Everybody who worked so hard to do that.
Well done.
The rain did not diminish at all the good time I think everybody had. Wednesday night is the Taste.
Yes.
Which is another incredible event. If you don't have a ticket, get a ticket. I'm fasting between now and then because there is some great food to be had. And thank you all for this evening.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoy discussing things with you and appreciate that very much. And I want to thank all of you for doing
nice
that.
Nice conversation.
Yes. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Great, thank you. Just quickly, again, I mentioned Kevin Robillard today. You know, we sometimes get caught up on trees and things that are obviously important to this community, but you know, we do lose good people. And somebody who committed his life to his children and this community. So it's just good to remember that sometimes, too. And on a lighter note, I knew at one time in my life I was going to have to explain the birds and the bees to my children. After seeing a picture of Commissioner McMackin dressed as a bee, I have to explain that. Somebody had to explain that to me. That scared me a little bit. But well done, staff. That was it was a great night.
No, you don't.
I will tell you, we're still waiting on a report back from Tallahassee. The initial report we received back, I think, was a little bit light. So Michelle's working with our lobbyists up there. There are a lot of things going on in Tallahassee. We are actively engaged with our representatives, and we are attempting to take care of something that could be impactful to the city. So we're working on a couple things, and I mean negatively impactful. There's some things that we're trying to accomplish and get assistance with from positive impact to the city, and we are just as aggressively fighting something that can be a negative impact to the city, and we will have more information on that as it goes. Thank you all very much for your assistance tonight, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.